We've been giving away $1,000 every day. In fact, yes. $5,000 every day when it comes to all the shows.
Yes.
But we personally give it away in the 8 o'clock hour. And this morning we're doing it at 8:49. You're going to want to listen to this special word, and then you could, you know, do a lot of things with that, right?
Oh, yeah. There's so much you can do with $1,000 right now. So many people who could use $1,000.
Yeah. So we're going to do it. We're going to give it away with that special word. Lots coming up when it comes to the word giveaway. A lot going on in the Middle East also. Steve Witkoff is there. Jared Kushner is there. J.D. Vance is there. And J.D. Vance talked to reporters saying, don't focus on the negative of what's going on. That was his message. Listen.
Weird attitude I've sensed in the American media and the Western media, where there's almost this desire to root for failure, that every time something bad happens, that every time that there's an act of violence, there's this inclination to say, oh, this is the end of the ceasefire. This is the end of the peace plan. It's not the end. It is, in fact, exactly how this is going to have to happen when you have people who hate each other, who have been fighting against each other for a very long time. We are doing very well. We are in a very good place. We're going to have to keep working on it, but I think we have the team to do exactly that. So with all thanks to our partners, both in Israel, but all across the Gulf Arab states, Indonesia, the Turks, we are doing an amazing thing here. And I'm particularly proud of the American troops working at the command center who are coordinating this effort and making it possible.
So he's very positive when it comes to preserving this ceasefire. Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, joins us now. Jonathan, with everything that's happened since this agreement has been reached, are others as positive as J.D. Vance?
I think others are pretty positive. I think Benjamin Netanyahu, pretty positive, no doubt about that. He was talking today about the importance of the partnership with the United States and Israel. He's been talking about reaching his goals of, in his words, putting the knife at Hamas's throat, isolating Hamas in the Arab and Muslim world. If Israel believes that Hamas is isolated, again, that would speak to the idea that the Arab world is coming on side with the US and Israel's position, and that would suggest that they are positive about this plan for the future. You know, we saw on Monday, when it really appeared that the ceasefire was in jeopardy, I don't think it's too big a stretch to say that when you've got Israeli soldiers being killed and you've got Palestinians being killed in retaliatory attacks, people will be concerned about it. But that has died away a little bit. We've seen not the same sort of intensity in those intervening days. So I think that there is a positive feeling just now. But you know, J.D. Vance said there, you've got two groups of people who hate each other. And as a result, people will be on their guard and people will be looking for any sort of possibility of this falling apart.
Yeah, the vice president described the situation as better than expected. And given the recent violence and the accusations flying between Israel and Hamas, Jonathan, you think that optimism is justified?
I think what we have now is for the first time in 2 years, we have a ceasefire. And I think the fact that that was agreed and that it has lasted for almost 2 weeks, give or take a day or two of fighting, I think people will say, look, this is reason to be justifying the optimism, the fact that we've got this situation we haven't had for a long year, for 2 years. Now, on top of that, there is a plan in place. Is it a good plan? Is it a plan that's agreed to? All these questions need to be answered. But there's a plan in place which has the backing, not just the US and Israel, but it has the backing of Arab states. It has the backing of stakeholders in other parts of the world, Turkey, the United Kingdom, Indonesia, as J.D. Vance mentioned there. So while there's absolutely room for caution, there is going to be a belief that the optimism is justified, I think.
The president suggested that several countries in the Middle East offered to send forces to Gaza to handle Hamas and these sort of things that are happening in the streets. Have you heard that as well? Are countries willing to do that?
Well, according to the U.S. president and vice president, they are, this international stabilization force. We don't have this, you know, hard list of countries or troop numbers or anything like that yet. But, you know, what Vice President Vance says is these things take a bit of time. They have 200 American forces in Israel just now to partly monitor the ceasefire, partly pave the way for the International Stabilization Force. I think the longer it takes before we do get hard answers, before we get hard numbers, people will start to become a bit skeptical. But President Trump will point to the number of world leaders who were sitting with him in Egypt last week for the signing of this agreement. And he will say, look, these countries have signed up to my plan. They have all said that my plan is the best way forward. They've all said that there should be an international stabilization force. So he will say that you have to be patient.
Speaking with Jonathan Savage, Fox News radio correspondent, WJR contributor. And Jonathan, the vice president, you know, really praised the flow of humanitarian aid going into Gaza. But there were some reports that suggest that the food distribution has, you know, been paused and a lot of aid trucks are waiting for clearance. Who's holding up these efforts?
Yeah, so it's Israel who really controls the flow of aid into Gaza. And while aid has come in, it was paused over the weekend during the fighting when that resumed. But Israel said it reopened two crossings. One important crossing, the Rafah crossing, not reopened. That would also allow Palestinians to leave Gaza with Israeli permission, but that hasn't happened. It's clear that even if a few hundred trucks are going into Gaza every day, while that is welcome, while that will make a difference, it is a long, long way from what is truly needed. You know, it is still a desperate situation for Palestinians there, and has been for a very long time. On top of that, we heard a Palestinian non-governmental organization saying yesterday there had been an armed raid and brutal takeover of one of its facilities in Gaza last week. This is an organization which offers mental health services to people. So that underlines just how difficult the circumstances are.
So J.D. Vance said that the U.S. military would help with aid delivery, but for sure they have always said that U.S. American soldiers would not be on the ground in Gaza, and that remains. Correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That is still position of the U.S. government. And when they said the 200 soldiers were heading to Israel, people started to think, well, hold on a second, does this mean that soldiers are going to be on the ground in Gaza? But we're told that that is not the case. The U.S. troops are simply there to monitor the ceasefire from a distance rather than to enforce it, rather than to engage with Hamas. Now, over the last few weeks, we've heard President Trump saying that, you know, if Hamas doesn't disarm, we'll go in there and disarm them. We will deal with them. He was not, it would seem, using we in the term of referring to Americans, but we in terms of the international community.
Jonathan Savage, Fox News correspondent, WJR contributor, thank you as always.
Thank you.
And, you know, I was talking about that 60 Minutes piece of Steve Witkoff and sort of the job they did getting to this point. Mm-hmm. And he's over there and he's talking about the hostage families, and he talked to some of them.
I want to observe that I didn't see any victims in that room. I saw strong people who have come out under very difficult circumstances. Their families are reunited, and they are so grateful. And it was just my privilege as an American to be there.
Must be so emotional.
It must be. It has
to
be
a part of it, to sort of make change in the world like that. So congratulations to him. Coming up, we are going to do an airport divorces.
An airport divorce. No, I like to find out.
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
We're going to talk about it. It's 6:49. Time now for this week's S&P Global Mobility Minute with Tom Libby.
Since 2020, 34 automakers have delivered at least one new vehicle in the United States. While this may suggest that the market offers a broad set of products from which the consumer can choose, the reality is that the market now is heavily concentrated in just three manufacturers. S&P Global Mobility new vehicle registration data indicate that three automakers, General Motors, Toyota Motor Corp, and Hyundai Motor Group, have increasingly dominated the U.S. market and now account for 45% of new vehicle retail registrations all by themselves. These three leaders' combined market share has climbed 4.7 percentage points since 2020. Hyundai, marketing the three brands Hyundai, Kia, and Genesis, has played a major role in this increase, providing 2.8 percentage points of share gain all by itself. These three manufacturers achieved these gains through a combination of launching alternative powertrain vehicles and superior brand loyalty, manufacturer loyalty, and conquesting households from competitors. I'm Tom Libby with this week's Automotive Minute from S&P Global Mobility.